We thank you so much for your word and for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that when we are joined together, you say that you're in the midst of us, Father, to make good that which we agree upon. We touch and agree today in faith that the Spirit of God will have free course amongst your people today, Father. We thank you that your will is done in our presence. Father, I thank you that you touch every body that needs healing, that you touch every mind that needs peace, Father, that you touch every heart that may be broken. I thank you, Lord, that the life of Jesus Christ is ministered to people today, Father, that each person here within the sound of my voice will receive what they have need of, Father. We thank you that as we take this time to remember Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our present and current reigning King, that we are blessed today and that we are a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. All in agreement say?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've been on a series entitled Be in Health. And communion is coming at an appropriate time in the middle of the series because a lot of people do not realize what a great witness the communion service is. People have taken communion for years and they don't even know that in communion it testifies and witnesses that it's God's will that we be healed. As again, we've said things like, I was raised Baptist. I'm talking about the Baptist church I was in, not the one you went to, but the one I was in. We were taught Jesus heal whom he wants to heal. God moves when he wants to. We were taught that certain things went out with the days of the apostles. Miracles went out. It was taught in history by a lot of the Protestant churches until the Pentecostal movement in Azusa Street back in the early 1900s. Everybody had just forgotten about the gifts. Everybody had forgotten about speaking in tongues. Oh, that's of the devil. That's not of God. Everybody had forgotten about miracles. Oh, well, that went out with the days of the apostles. Forgot about healing. People were starting to wonder why serve God. Because one day you're going to go to hell if you don't. But that just wasn't enough motivation for people today who walk by sight. God has never been afraid to show himself powerful. God has never been afraid to meet the needs of his people with signs, wonders, and miracles. It's his desire to heal and that we all be in health. And communion has revealed this. And even today, people will take communion around the world in different places and they won't have any idea. They'll not believe in healing. They believe God heals who he wants to heal when he wants to and not have any idea it's God's will to all be healed. We ask the question, how many people does God not want saved? And not one Christian church be, oh, he don't want somebody saved. Everybody would know it's God's will to all be saved. And what people fail to realize is that communion, or what communion represents, the blood, the shedding of the blood, and the breaking of the body, or the wounding of the body, or the stripes that Jesus received, both of those explain clearly it is God's will that all be saved, and it's God's will that all be healed. And the two of those were sealed in the same 24 hours. At the same time, they were both tied in into that act of what Jesus did from the time of his betrayal. Because he said, the time is at hand. It's time. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. It's that time, you all. And it shocked them because they figured tomorrow was going to be like yesterday, was going to be like the next day. And you saw on there an illustration where Jesus kind of like, I knew I came and what I had to do, but... Now, some people say, oh, no, Jesus just knew everything. Jesus was on that cross saying, Lama, Lama, Sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? He didn't know that. He didn't know that when our sin came upon him, the presence of God that had been with him from eternity past would leave. And he said, oh, my God, this is an empty feeling. This is a lonely feeling. I'm so used to communing with you, communing and fellowshipping. The Greek word koinonia, to be in fellowship, to be in intimate relationship with God. And all of a sudden God said, oh, no, you took the sins of the world. I'm sorry. It pleased me to bruise you and to do that because I had them in mind. But you're going to be all right after 3 days. But I've got to put that on you, son. And Jesus is like, what? Oh, what? My God, why have you forsaken me? He didn't know that was part of the deal. So he didn't know everything. So it's very probable that when God dropped to him through a word of knowledge, divine intervention of God into the mind of man concerning future things, when that word of knowledge came and Jesus saw that, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do that. And then he saw Judas and he's going to be one to betray me. Jesus didn't, you know, fall apart. He says, I just say in the Bible, when he had to go forward with it, he set his face as it were like flint to go towards the cross because he was obedient even to the death of the cross. Now, when I remember Jesus, it helps me live by faith now. Think about it. All of us can list some things we struggle with. little sins. You remember Hebrews 12 says, lay aside all those sins that so easy beset you. And looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, let's go straight forward. He endured the shame across all that. We have little things like, you know what? This person's getting on my... I got one nerve left, Mary, and that fool is standing on it. They getting on my last nerve, and you about to let them have a piece of your mind. I need to remember Jesus at times like that. And some people, lucky I do remember Jesus at times like that. Because you're like, oh my God, I'm going to hurt somebody. But you remember Jesus and say, this ain't nothing like the cross. This is nothing like being beat by a cat of nine tails. A long leather whip that's braided, that's rolled in tar, then rolled in gravel and sharp glass or whatever, and then sand, and then at the end there's a little ball, and the little ball has a spike on it, and the guy that knows how to whip you with it is a professional whipper, world-class whipper. Now, people, the Passion of Christ doesn't show Jesus what he looked like. It says in Isaiah that his body, his visage, they used the old English word visage, which means his form, his body, his figure, his visage was so marred that he barely resembled a human. All you could tell is it had two legs and a head and arms. I think it's humanoid. But he got beat beyond what you can imagine. And like I said, Jesus was a strong man that did carpentry during the days when there were no Black and Decker twos, and he couldn't even carry his own cross. He had lost so much blood after that beating. He was whipped beyond bare human recognition because Satan was like, I got him now. Ah! And they prophesied that his heel, he would bruise my heel. No, it's not. I got him. And Satan beat him through that whipper with, he just unleashed all kind of stuff on him. And Jesus sat there as a lamb to slaughter, and he took it for me and for you. You have a different attitude about whether you want to curse somebody out when you remember that. You have a different attitude about whether it's too hard to come to church when you remember that. You have a different attitude about whether you want to share Christ with somebody when you remember how what he went through to keep that person out of hell who you're ashamed to share Christ to. Or when you want to stand up with your testimony and say, yes, I'm a Christian. You don't like it. Blessed am I when I'm persecuted for righteousness sake. So I don't care if you know I'm a Christian. I'm not going to bend over. I'm not going to be back. I'm not going to shy down because I'm in the midst of the sinners. I'll do like some of the bold people did to want the healing. They got even more loud. Because you know what you're saying is truth. People tell lies very loud, and Christians whisper the truth. They forgot. They forgot that what they're saying is was real. They forgot that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And they think what the devil can do through evil spirits and wicked things has any effect over me. If the devil brought all he had, it's not enough. Because greater is he that's in me and you than he that's in the world. Than any demon, any devil, any imp, any pimp, any anything.
Yes. Amen.
Greater. Yes. The greater one's on the inside of me. Giving me everything I need. The greater one's on the inside of me. The price has been paid for me never have to bow down to anything or anyone. It's a boldness, an assurance, a confidence that we have when we remember him. I love it at the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to get him. And Jesus said, hey, you know, I know I'm going, but let me understand. I'm choosing to go because no man can take my life. I have to lay it down. When they come and they put, hey, you ain't got to do all that. If I didn't want to go, I wouldn't be going. So you can relax. I'm going. He didn't do it because he was scared, because he stopped him to make it real clear. No, you not. I can call to my Father in heaven and legions come down. And that'd be the end of you. And that's that right there. I mean, look how much composure Jesus had. Malchus, one of the guards, and not one of the guards, one of the guys with Jesus. There was a Peter. Peter took the sword and they come to get Jesus and guard against him. Peter takes the sword and cuts off one of the guards named Malchus' ear. Peter cut his ear off. Peter was a rambunctious brother. I mean, he was like, Peter, you always saying the wrong thing. He like, man, the Son of God came not to destroy life, Peter. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to bring life. But Peter like, ain't nobody taking him. Boom, cut the guy's ear off. And Jesus reached down and healed him and put his ear back on. You remember that in the Bible?
Amen.
Jesus was totally in control when they came to get him. He wasn't scared. He wasn't nervous. He told them these things must come to pass shortly. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed. And then he told Judas, go do what you got to do, but do it quickly. He didn't want to go. Nobody wants to go. but he had made up his mind to go. Because remember in the garden, he had prayed, as it were, drops of blood, I forget, but there's a physiological term where if people under enough stress, enough duress, the capillaries pop and you actually sweat blood. That is literally a condition that has happened. There's a name for it. I forget the name of it, but you can sweat blood. And they say Jesus sweated, as it were, drops of blood, saying, my God, is there another way? I grew up watching people get crucified. Not on my bucket list. Not one of the things I want to do before I die. I got to go to the cross. But that's agony. That's pain. It pleased the Father to bruise him. Because the Father saw you. And he saw me in our sin, saying, if a righteous holy lamb is not sacrificed, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of their sins. I need a righteous one to live and fulfill the law and the testament and the covenant. I need one that's not stained by sin. I need a lamb to sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And we forget him. We forget, as it were, our ticket to heaven, the way we can come in, the one who paid the highest price. We forget him. How ungrateful are we? But God knew we would. That's why he had to say, remember. You don't have to say, remember. You ever have kids, they do stuff, and you say, don't forget to do this, don't forget to do that. Why do you say that so much? Because they got great memories. God got some kids too. He got some children too. And he had to tell his children, remember me when you do this. Because God knew we would forget because of the cares of the world. The cares of the world can choke out. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Where am I going to sleep? Where's my job? What's the economy? Who am I going to vote for? All that inconsequential, eternally valueless, unimportant stuff we put above Christ and his work. We elevate that above remembering him. And between the communions, if you don't keep him in the forefront of your mind and your existence, you shall forget. Communion is so special because sometimes we realize we forgot. And it's good to remember. When you stop and think, just talking about it, it's just like, wow, you know what? He did pay the price. Where the devil at? Where is he at? I can deal with that. Devil's a liar, that weakling, coward. Kids, you say scaredy cat. Who is the devil? Who are you? Do you know the price been paid for me? That's for me. That's how important I am to God. You are nobody. You can't take my life. You can't do nothing. That's the boldness you need to get your healing. That boldness you need to get the devil's hands off your finances. That's the boldness you need to go and do Bible study on a regular basis, to attend church on a regular basis. That's the boldness you need to even be on time. It's important. The things of God to a Christian are the most important things they are, because you got to remember, as a Christian, you are dead. You are not alive. I'm dead, buried with Christ. Not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And many of us got born again. We were young, when we were teenagers, when we were in college, and the cares of the world and having kids and the cares of life begin to choke out, and we forget our first love. Now, give God your whole life. If Jesus returns and your life is found in your hands, you're in trouble. So I encourage everybody doing communion, as we remember him, let the remembrance of him be the impetus to pay the price, the impetus to make him number one. Because I'm telling you prophetically, the time is coming, and it's coming soon, where the church will be purified. And anybody who studies church history knows how the church is purified. Persecution purifies the church. And everybody going to fake like they with Jesus when they talk about cutting heads off. Yeah, I'm with Jesus. Come. No, nobody going to fake that. If they say, you go to church, we're going to throw you in jail. You make a Christian symbol. You do this, you do that. We're going to lock you up. We're going to accuse. We're going to do this. If people bow down because they're afraid of what somebody going to think when there's laws to give you religious freedom, what are they going to do? And people still bow down. What's going to happen when the laws say there is no religious freedom for you? You have to have the one world religion. What's going to happen when they say that? That's already in places of the world. just like in early days. And because us Christians hadn't been strong, we've been busy preoccupied with the distractions of the world, with the people of the world, things that people would be ashamed, sins people would be ashamed to do their advertising now. And encouraging you and teaching our children values we don't hold. Things we hold to be sin, they're teaching them to them under the guise of tolerance and peace and everybody getting along. After all, we all just want to be one world people with one world religion, with one world government. Sounds so pretty, doesn't it? That's funny. I would be deceived if I hadn't read the Bible to the end. What fellowship have darkness with light? Where do you see the example of the Bible where they coming together with unbelievers? God's like this. Let me be right. Everybody else is wrong. Oh, that's so closed-minded. Yeah, the gates of heaven going to be closed too to everybody with open mind. I let people believe what they want to believe. I'm not dogmatic on anybody. I say they have the right to teach what they teach. I have the right to teach what I teach. Let's throw the fire down. Let's see whose God answers. I'm not afraid of that. But to tell me I can't and to shut it out and it's that right there, you better stand up because soon you won't be able to stand up. Without paying a price, you wish you hadn't had to pay in a nation that used to leave you alone. And a lot of people are so ignorant. We support the very things that's bringing down our society because there's a part of us that Satan has control of, the flesh that likes that. And if we don't remember Jesus and the fact that he had dominance over his flesh because he did not want to go to the cross and we give in to our flesh, they that are led of the flesh shall reap corruption and then destruction. We have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have to remember the price he paid. We need to remember how insignificant sin was to him because he's like, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to do that. My body may want to get off this cross. My body may want to not go to this cross, but body, shut up. We're going to the cross. Look at the power of his spirit. Look at the strength of his spirit. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Let him be the example. That's how you're going to lay aside all these sins that so easy beset you, is Christ is your example. But if you forget your example and what your example taught, you're in trouble. You want to be a tennis star and you got a mentor, maybe Andrew Agassi or one of the great tennis people teaching you how to play. And you're out there and your game's getting better in practice. And now you're a lot better. You've been with them for 6 months. You're going out there to the Wimbledon and you go out there and forget the mentor. Forget everything they said. You probably gonna have a problem. Go right back to the same old bad lifestyle because you forgot. It's so important that we remember. Somebody died for me who didn't have to die. Somebody paid the price for my sins, my sickness, my disease. They didn't have to pay it. I can't forget the price has been paid. It's kind of like you're going to take your family to Disney. Somebody gave you free tickets. Then you forget you got the tickets and you pay and go in there. And then you remember you got the tickets too late and you're like, oh, it's too late. Because, see, you miss benefits when you forget. Christians live beneath their standard of healing, their standard of strength, moral character, spiritual power, anointing. They live beneath that when they forget. We studied that the Lord said, and he told us over there in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all thy benefits, who forgiveth thy sins, iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases. If you forget that God forgives your sin and heals your diseases, that's the same thing as communion. The blood representing the forgiveness of sins, the stripes, the beating of the body represents. Notice how many times in Old and New Testament before and after Jesus came, those two are put together because God looks at them as one because they're benefits of the covenant. Healing is a benefit of the covenant. Salvation, being redeemed from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death are benefits of the covenant. Are you a covenant person? Are you keeping the covenant with God? If we forget his laws and his statutes, let alone forget him, we forget we're in covenant. We forget we're covenant people. So we transgress our covenant. And when you transgress the covenant, the other party is not obligated to hold their side of the covenant. So it's very important as a covenant people that we stay in contact with our covenant of God. We stay in fellowship and reunion with him. Let's take a look here at communion, how they reveal that in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 31. It is obviously in communion revealed it is God's will to heal just as much and to the same degree that it is God's will to save. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 31, New King James, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. We're approaching the communion table today. Let a man or woman examine him or herself, and so let him eat or drink the bread, eat the bread and drink the cup. After they've examined themselves. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself because they fail to discern the Lord's body. To properly understand, you need to examine yourself so that you can judge yourself, so that you can correct yourself before you come to the table, because if not, you're not understanding the righteousness that's required and has been purchased, and you're not discerning what the Lord has done for you to be receive your healing and to receive the washing away of your sins. Verse 30, for this reason, all the years we took communion as a kid at the church I attended, he never read this far. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you and have died. That's what sleep means. So for the reason of not examining myself and judging myself and correcting my behavior, and for the reason of not understanding that Jesus' stripes, I'm healed, for that reason, many Christians are weak, which means not totally healthy, and they're sick, they got some condition going on in their body, and many of them have died for the reason of not examining themselves and for reason of not understanding healing is part of the covenant. Isn't that interesting? When we understand what communion is, it's a reminder that God's will is to heal. It's a reminder it's God's will to save. He wants to save as many as he wants to heal. But everybody's not saved. People die and go to hell every day. But nobody's not saved who received Jesus. Nobody's not healed who received healing. So just like we receive salvation by faith, we have to receive our healing by faith. So very often we don't have our healing because we need to build our faith. We need to develop our faith. Every male child is born, no matter what race or nationality or whatever, are born with the same amount of muscle. As long as they're born normal, they're not born with a missing tricep or missing bicep. They have the same amount of muscle as anybody else. But one person develops to a Lee Haney, Arnold Schwarzenegger type body, and other people develop to Pee Wee Herman. Or lack of development thereof. To Pee Wee Herman. And Pee Wee Herman and Lee Haney and Arnold Schwarzenegger have the same amount of muscle. They have the same number of muscles. They have the same muscles. Just like you have the same spiritual muscle that Apostle Paul has. You have the same spiritual muscle that the Lord Jesus had when he was a man on this earth and giving up all his priesthood. You have the same amount. But what did Jesus develop his spiritual muscle into versus what we develop ours into? I need to remember that. Let me go back and think of his life. Now, he was found at age 12 in the temple learning. And his mother like, Jesus, where you been? Boy, you thought you were the relatives. We got to come back and get you behind. What you doing? Know you not about my father's business. Even at age 12, he was about his father's business. Some people a little older than 12. You think they have their father's business yet? Think they matured as much as a 12-year-old Jesus yet? They might explain their spiritual development or the Pee Wee Hermanism thereof. Yeah, I've been there. I could be a lot stronger. If I knew what I knew now then, I'd be a whole lot stronger. But what are you going to say 5 years from now that you do know that your spiritual exercise, reading, studying the word, attending church regularly, attending a good church that's Bible-based that teaches will help you grow strong spiritually? Where are you going to be 5 years from now? If you're still weak saying, I wish I should have known, it wouldn't matter if you know then. Because if once you know you don't do, you wouldn't have done if you'd have known. Once you know, if you don't start doing, then you wouldn't have done if you'd have known before. Because you don't have control of yourself. You don't have a backbone, you got a wishbone. I sure wish it was different, but you got no backbone to make it happen. So what we got to do is get a backbone. That's on anything. That's on your financial success. That's on fixing your marriage. That's on developing a relationship with your kids. That's on getting a promotion in your job. If you've got no backbone, you might as well go home. You're not going to win. You might as well just go home now. Go and be with Jesus. If that's where you're going, go and be with him because you ain't doing nothing. You're going to accomplish nothing. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to be all I can be in God's army. I'm going to exercise my spiritual muscle. I'm going to develop my spirit. I'm going to grow in the things of God. And you know what? I'm going to be powerful.
Amen.
Devils will flee because they know I'm coming. I won't be running from them. They'll be running from me. They would be trying to keep as many people away from me as possible, but I'll go wherever I want to go, whenever I want to go, under the power and anointing of God. That's who we are in Him when we remember that. You are that even if you don't remember it. The Bible says, and we'll get to in just a minute, the Bible says you're already healed. But we don't know that. We mentally assent with our mind, but we haven't developed our spiritual muscle of faith for healing to actually believe it. We're moved by what we see. I can't be healed because I got pain. I can't be healed because I see my arm messed up. I can't be healed. That's what we believe. With our mind, we say, no, the Bible says I'm healed. But what we believe is what we see, because we're used to being led by sight and not by faith. But the Christians, the children of God, we walk by faith. I think they say, remember that too. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Is that a faith statement, or have you got that manifested as a fact yet? Now, some people say, we walk by sight and not by faith, because seeing is believing. That's where the world taught us. And it does take time to build your faith to get away from the way you've been taught. But we all start walking by sight. Even the greatest of us, even Paul started walking by sight. But he got to where he walked by faith. We all start walking by sight. The thing is development. We all start with the same amount of muscle. But some people develop it. So don't think somebody, you can't be a spiritual giant. You will be whatever you will to be and whatever you work to be. You'll be as strong in the spirit as you will to be. You'll be as healed as you will to be. You will be as financially blessed as you will to be. Because God's got nothing against blessing you. But blessing and financial blessing comes to those who line up with His word and His will. God's got nothing about you and your wife having the best marriage, or you and your husband having the best marriage anybody has ever had on this planet. It's just up to you and your husband and you and your wife. Not up to God, because God said, I give you everything you need. Here's the rule book. Follow the rules. Well, I don't really know the rules. I don't like that rule. I'm not going to do that. Well, do you trust God with all your heart, or do you lean onto your own understanding? Which one is it? Proverbs 3:5 says, which one is it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, or you can lean on your understanding. Or worse than that, lean on the world's understanding, which has programmed our minds when you watch their TV and their radio and listen to their music. Every now and then we have parents that might say they're having problems with their kids and things like that. And they say, Pastor, this music that my kids is listening to, I said, yeah, faith come by hearing. And I would dare say there's a good number of Christian kids to listen to secular music more than they listen to Bible on CD. I think I'll take that bet that I'm probably pretty close to right. So it's no wonder what's in their heart. But they're not bad kids. They just do what their parents do. It got quiet in here. Well, when it get quiet, you didn't hit one. Let me back up a little bit. Oh, yeah, we talk about communion and everything is hunky-dory. It's all lovely and good. We're not going to step on nobody's toes today. But no, they know what we do. That's why it's important that your kids see your spirituality, not just hear your spirituality. Let them see you praying sometime. Tell them what prayer is about. Tell them, let's pray about this. You know, let's pray about that. Yeah. It's so easy to forget to do them. It's so easy when we're playing church to play church. But when we go home, we don't remember. We start getting caught up with family and life and work. That's why we got to slow down right now and stop and say, I've forgotten. Yeah, I got a little off here. Let me judge myself. Let me examine myself. Let me straighten my course. Oh, man, I remember I was on fire for God at one time. I didn't realize that cooled off to I slowed down enough to remember. Oh, yeah, Jesus is a whole lot hotter than me. I better turn it up a little bit, because I may be deceived to think I'm on the way to one place and I may be on the way to another place. It could happen so easily because the cares of this world choke out the word of God. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? Where shall I sleep? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do that? How are you going to make it to heaven by ignoring God is a question you need to think about. How can I possibly be declared righteous if I've forgotten to live right? It says there, again in verse 20, Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. If you judge yourself, nobody got to judge you, it says in verse 30. Verse 31, for this reason many are weak. Do you see the Bible telling you by people failing to understand the communion and failing to judge themselves, examine themselves, and approach the table in a right manner and failing to, do you see that for this reason many Christians are dead prematurely? Many Christians are alive but sick. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Because, see, we may get to it if I get to teach some of the reasons of why people are sick. One of the reasons is disobedience. Everybody's sick isn't because of disobedience, but that's one of the reasons. I knew of a person who was called to missionary field. And they knew they were called to missionary field. And they said, I don't want to go. They literally said, God, I don't want to go. Jesus said, I don't want to go to the cross, but if it's thy will be done, not my will. God told them, I want to go to mission field. They said, I don't want to go, and I'm not going. And they were sick, and then they kept fighting, and they were like, God, why can't I get rid? And God said to them, this is God talking to them, this is what they said. God spoke to me and said, because if you're going to disobey, you might as well come home. I'm not saying they said God put them on nothing like that, because see, God has good, Satan has bad. If you walk out apart from God, you get out from under the umbrella or under the spot where the blessings come out, you're out in the world. That's why God says, as an eagle protects his younglings, I will cover you. But if God covers you and you keep running from under covers, you're going to be exposed. And when we live a disobedient life, we expose ourselves to Satan. He's seeking to and fro to see who's exposed. Who doesn't have a covering of God? Who is not right with the Lord? Who can I get to? Oh, that person, look at what they're eating. That's not even food. Look at what they're doing. I can get to them through their health. Look at this person. They're a fool with the money. I can get to their finances through that foolishness. It is disobedience, because God said, do something else with your health. He said, eat something else. He said, handle your money another way. Don't think that doesn't make sense. God is not to be made a fool of. He's not to be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. So we all reap what we're sowing. We're reaping what we've sown. So we have to look and say, I don't like that crop. Well, stop planting that seed. Amen. Don't be trying to play games with the dirt. Stop putting the seed there. Get a new seed. Dig that seed up and put some new seed down. Yeah, I need some better dirt. This dirt keep growing carrots. Well, what you putting in? Carrot seeds? But I don't want no carrots. But this dirt keep doing it. You can change the dirt all you want. It's the seed that's wrong. The action, what you're doing. Don't want to be financially tight anymore? Learn a different way of handling your money. Learn from somebody who handles it well. Don't want those problems in marriage? Learn from somebody who handles their marriage well. Don't want rotten teeth? Learn from somebody that don't have them. Now I just keep paying the dentist, but I'm going to keep doing the same exact thing. The dentist is a repairman. He's not necessarily going to put himself out of business by telling you how to. Hey, let me just throw this out there, since we're in a health series. Maybe sometimes before you go to bed, I know it's cheap, it's inexpensive, it's old school. Maybe sometime if you have a problem with rotten teeth and you have a lot of acidic drinks and coffees and teas and all that, and you're not going to stop the coffees and teas right now, but maybe sometimes you'll consider just going down to the store, spending about a dollar, and buying some baking soda to brush your teeth with so you can put the acid out before you go to bed and it eats enamel off. Just maybe. just a thought. I just grabbed it out of the air, just a thought. Maybe wisdom will help. But see, it's the same thing about having common sense. Having a basis where you're free from worldly thinking. I can challenge anything in the world people say because I'm free in my mind because I remember Christ. And I know I don't have to take all these medicines, all this kind of stuff. I don't do all that, but I do have to eat right. And if I'm not going to eat right, I'm going to take a bunch of medicines and supplements and a bunch of other stuff if I don't eat right. But if I eat right, I don't have to do anything. Because God said eat right does it. But I have to figure out what eat right is. Because I can't break God's laws and claim the benefits of communion and covenant. I'm healed from the top of my head. Just supposed to be why? Because I said so. But it's not just because you say so. Faith without corresponding actions is dead, been alone. Faith without works is dead. And a lot of people think they have faith for healing, but what they have is confession for healing, not faith for healing, because everything they do is contradictory to what they're saying. And God's not to be a fool. What you do is going to outweigh what you say. But the greatest thing is when you do and say are in agreement with the word. And that's where knowledge comes in, and then the ability to control your will. But for this reason, Many are weak and sick among you for this reason. Verse 28 says, lifestyle and attitude. We have to examine ourselves. So as we approach the communion table, examine yourself, examine your lifestyle. Where are you not in line with the word of God? You want to repent of that. We'll give everybody an opportunity to repent in just a moment. But we want to repent of that because our life. What about our attitude? What about our attitude about church? If you got invited to a premiere of a motion picture, if you got invited to, or you knew there was going to be, your favorite group was going to be in concert, but the ticket's going to be short, would you get up early to get there, get the ticket? Would you do like some fanatics, some fans do? They get in line early to go get in a ball game or to go buy the tickets. But then when it comes to things of God, they're like, oh, I get around to it. Oh, I missed the opportunity. That's all right. That's what I mean when I say examine your attitude. What is your attitude about church? What's your attitude about gathering with the saints? Do you do it when you want to? You skip it out whenever you want to? I used to not go to church. I was raised in church. I got out and I just wasn't going because I ain't felt I need to go. I need to go. I know what he's saying, trying to get me saved. I'm already saved. Nothing new there. And I had it all justified in my mind. I didn't care that the Bible said, don't forsake the assembly of saints, as is the manner of some, even more so as the day of the Lord approaches. Should we come together? Should we come together more? Because the day is evil and we need to get together and undo the craziness. We need to get together so I can get where a sister's going to help me remember that God is real. Because this sister out here in the world I work with ain't no God. This brother out here ain't no God. I need to come back with the saints. Oh, yeah, I'm good. I ain't the only one out here believing. There's other believers. There's other people. God is real. There's people that when I got spiritual needs, they can feed into me out in the world. They can't feed me anything but their spirit. Leave that man. I ain't putting up with that from no man. Yeah, then when you divorce out to buy yourself with no money, girl, I can't loan you none. And I ain't saying stay with somebody doing wrong. I'm saying don't jump out the skillet into the fire. Weigh these things. Sometimes it's cheaper to keep her. I'm talking about spiritually and emotionally, not financially. It's bad because whoever you get, you got to work on them. If you ain't willing to work on this one, what makes you think you can work on another one? Because there ain't no perfect ones out there. There ain't no perfect men and women out there. You get different sets of problems. That's all you get is different sets. I'm going to get this one. And that's what people do. They like, ooh, I ain't going to marry no man or woman like that. Then they go get one that's opposite with another set of problems. So the thing is you have to learn how to love and your problems go away. You don't have to be like me for me to love you. You don't have to think like me, act like me or nothing. I love my wife. No matter how my wife acted or whatever, I still love her because that's what I vowed before God and witnesses, to love her. She don't have to jump through no hoops to please me. I might like you jump through this hoop, but if you don't like jump through that hoop, guess what? I'm still going to be good because I'm whole. God supplies all my needs because there's riches and glory in Christ Jesus, according to his riches and glory. See, when you're whole, you don't suck off people. You don't demand other people be a certain way so you can feel good and be happy and think everything is okay. I'm a man, whether somebody treat me like a man or didn't treat me like a man. My wife's a woman, whether I treat her or didn't treat her like a woman, because I'm not her womanhood. I remember somebody once, I cut the hair under my arms, and somebody at the church said something like, oh, Pastor, you cut the hair on your arms? I said, my manhood in the length of the afro under my arm. That may be yours, but that ain't mine. I got tired of sucking on my deodorant, so I cut it off. Now, if that don't work for you, let yours grow. Just go ahead and get yours. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I didn't mean to, you know, my manhood is not the length of the hair. I'm not Samson under my arm. Don't cut my hair. I'll lose my manhood. I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with you cutting hair or growing an afro on your arms, but why are you doing it? That's the question. It's not about whether you do it or not, because it doesn't reveal anything to me about somebody. Let's look a little bit further here before we get into communion. Again, lifestyle and attitude, people. So today, remember, I'm trying to get us to approach the table worthy, and we got to do it the way the Bible said, do it. We got to examine ourselves. We got to examine our lifestyle and attitude. I don't like pastors just serving communion to people and forcing them to take it in an unworthy manner, and they drink damnation on themselves, and then they continue being sick and weak. We want to see people healed and whole and made right before God. We want to celebrate communion the way God says celebrate it. We have to examine ourselves. So we got to stop and think, where's the Holy Spirit revealed to me where I'm out of fellowship with God? I need to fix that before I come to the table. Where's my attitude been wrong that I'm not esteeming God and the things of God high enough in my life? I need to examine that attitude. I need to straighten that attitude up. I don't want to partake in an unworthy way. Where am I not understanding? Listen to what they said in here. And verse 29, it says, not discern the Lord's body. You know, that word, we think we know what it means. We kind of do know what it means. But what does it mean when it comes to discerning the Lord's body? You ever ask that question? Not rightly discern the Lord's body. Well, I kind of know what discern means, but what does it mean right here in the Greek in the original language? What it means is the Greek word diakrino. And diakrino means to separate and to distinguish, to evaluate by recognizing differences. So this word diakrino, which is translated discerning, is to separate and to distinguish. Separate into its integral parts and distinguish one from the other. The other definition is to evaluate by recognizing the difference, not rightly discerning his body. So let's see, in communion, what's involved in his body? Okay, blood came from his body, and it talks a lot about blood in communion, and the beating or the bruising or the wounding or the stripes put on his body. When I look at communion and I look at wine and I look at which represents the blood, and I look at the bread, which represents the juice, which they say break. So the body's broken and the wine is poured out. There's a pouring or shedding of blood. There's a breaking or a wounding of the body. If I want to discern the Lord's body properly, I have to understand, what does that mean? What does that mean? Discern, to break out and to separate for the purpose of distinguishing and understanding that blood, which was from his body, the Lord's body, and that beating, which was the Lord's body. There's something I need to get, or I'm not approaching this table the right way. Verse 29 and 28 reveal two considerations, self-examination and discerning the Lord's body. On the next slide there, here's the warning that we get from our examining when we examine ourselves. We see there, it's a warning to the lost. Okay, the examination. When I examine myself and they're saying, be careful, caution, don't just come to the table. What are they cautioning us against? What are they warning against? It's a warning to the lost. It's a warning to the backslider. And it's a warning against the Holy Communion man taken lightly. Now, broken down, it's a warning to the lost because he or she is not in fellowship with Christ. Communion is for believers. If you're not born again, we don't shun you. We're not putting you down. But communion is actually for people who have received Jesus, and other people that haven't. Maybe they're young kids, adults, or older people. It doesn't matter. No shame on anybody. God respects everybody's right to pick what they do. We respect their right to pick what they do. But we want to make sure people don't take it unworthily. So if you're not born again, you're still learning about God. You haven't decided to receive him. You shouldn't take communion. Nobody's going to point at you and say, oh, they don't have communion. It's nothing like that. It's not a club of us and not you. Every church, if it's a healthy church, well, some people are eligible for communion, some not eligible. Because there'll always be people who are in different stages of knowing God. Some don't know him yet, but they're learning about him. Praise God. They're coming to church. No shame. Don't look at anybody funny. Don't force anybody to take it. It is a warning against those who aren't born again. Communion is not for those who aren't born again. It's a warning against the backslider because he or she has broken fellowship with Jesus. Right now, you're not right with God. Don't drink damnation to yourself. Maybe you're in sin and you ain't planning on getting out of sin because you like sinning. You're in a backslidden state. Do not take communion. You're willfully sinning by choice and you ain't planning on changing. Do not take communion. It's a warning. For this cause, many sleep and are sick among you. It's a warning against taking it lightly because some received the communion without first examining or correcting the lifestyle and the attitude. That happens a lot in some churches. They take communion without examining themselves. Now, we read all the time, so let a person examine themselves, then we go right on and take it. Some churches are so strange that they take communion and do the altar call. Well, shouldn't you have straightened the people out before they took the communion? You know what I'm saying? I mean, just no thinking at all, just acting. Just doing what the church before them did and the pastor before them. No thinking. That's why intelligent people sometimes don't go to church, because church, they get accused of having a lot of gullible, stupid, naive people. We know that's not true. The most intelligent people go to church. The most intelligent people believe in God. But other than that, there's some crazy people at church. Anybody ever known any crazy people? Keep looking forward. Don't look to the right or left. But yeah, there's some crazy people at church. Didn't ask you if you came to church with one of them. Just, are there some crazy people at church? Okay, don't get in trouble. Not starting no marital fights and sibling rivalries. Just look straight ahead and say, amen, Pastor Cook. Don't even like. What you looking at me for? Don't do that. Let's keep the peace. It's Communion Sunday. Let's commune with one another. But it's still true anyhow. There are some crazy people. I mean, when I got saved, folks were talking about they're going to quit their job and God's going to, they got faith to believe the money to come in. I'm like, I was new to it, but I was like, I was with some charismatics and I just come from the Baptist church over amongst these crazy charismatics. You know, oh yeah, I'm living by faith. I'm going to quit my job. I'm living by faith. And you're like, what? Don't you need to work? They live by faith. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm just naive. I don't understand. I didn't even know the scripture to tell them, man don't work, neither shall he eat. I would tell them that now. I show, look, what you believe is crazy. Let me show the real truth. But they really thought faith, you could do anything. I had somebody tell me, Pastor, if you had enough faith, you can empty out the hospital. I said, Jesus didn't go empty out hospital. Those who came to him, he ministered to. The rest of them, he left in the pool of Bethesda and walked right on. Don't say that, but he healed one people and the whole portion full of sick folk. So I said, but see, some people don't understand faith. They think faith is a magic wand. I can't override other people's faith just at will. It will be unto them according to their faith. I can help their faith. I can join my faith with their faith, but I can't always override their faith. So it's a warning to the lost because they're not in fellowship with Jesus. It's a warning to the backslider because they're not in fellowship with Jesus. It's a warning to the person who receive it lightly because they're not properly discerning the Lord's body. It is for your healing. So believe for your healing. Nothing's wrong with you if you get, but believe for your healing. It's a great time to receive your healing then. Great time to receive your healing. I've received my most healings, and I've only had minor things wrong. Believe it or not, I've received my most healings by going to church when I didn't feel well, and I was volunteering, and I volunteered anyway. There's so many times I went, anybody know what I'm talking about? You really don't feel like going, you're sick, you wanted to call and say, look, I can't usher today, I can't do this, I can't do that, I was an usher. But I said, you know what, devil, you're not stopping me from going to church. I pressed in, went there, and I didn't realize it, but by the end of the service, I was healed, and I didn't know when I got healed. It's just, it may have happened so long, I didn't remember it anymore. It's amazing how when you get in the spout where the blessing's coming out, you get blessed. And when you out of the spout and disconnected, you're not covered. God is obligated to care of those who are in his will. He's obligated. Let's look quickly, Isaiah 53:5, Psalms 103, and Matthew 8, and then we'll be getting ready to receive. Psalms 53:5 is where we learn about, we just learn about the warnings and examining ourselves and what it does with the lost person, the backslider, and the person who's taking it lightly. The other element was understanding the elements, the communion, the wine, the blood, understanding the body, the bruising, the breaking, the wounding. And it says in Isaiah 53:5, and by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sins and iniquities. The price or the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And the Old Testament says we are healed by his stripes. Psalms 103, which we quoted earlier, verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God has benefits. 3 says, who forgives your iniquities and heals all your diseases. That's a benefit. Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying Jesus himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. The Old Testament said, are healed. New Testament said, were healed. If you are healed, you was healed, and you is healed. I are healed, I were healed, I is healed. I is healed, y'all. And that manifests when my faith hooks up to where I believe that in my heart and I don't doubt it. But I believe and I know that I know the word of God, and revelation bursts forth, and you'll know when it's there because it manifests. You know when a person's in faith, you can see faith. You can hear faith. When we show the testimonies before the service like we did the first 3 services, you could hear those people when faith clicked in. And their testimony was, and then I just believed. But they were doing all this other stuff, but they came to the point where they finally believed it. And each of the 3 said, when they reached that point, that was when it manifests. They were fighting the good fight of faith up until the point to which they believed. So faith is a fight. And I can say something to you and don't put yourself down because it hadn't manifested. You keep fighting the fight, but fight it well. Don't be, oh, I guess it ain't for me. Don't create crazy doctrine. You say, no, it's God's word. I'll be healed. Devil, you're a liar. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I see. Continue meditating word. Keep studying word. And just like in each of their cases, from the lady with the cerebral palsy to the people that had cancer, just like that, faith cometh, bam, immediate results. You read the Bible immediately, straightway, immediately, from that very moment, immediately. That's the way it works. When man's faith comes in contact with God's word, there's always explosive results. But man's faith is not in the first hearing very often. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's why you have to stay away from people and things that take your faith away and stay with people to feed your faith. Don't hang around. If you got terminal illness, don't hang around with everybody else with terminal illness who think they're going to die. You better be saying, no, let me find somebody who got healed. Let me read testimonies. People got healed. Let me look online with testimonies got healed. Let me read the Bible about people got healed because that's all I want in my mind and my heart is healing. That's all I want. Discern the Lord's body, it says. The symbol of the wine points to Christ's shed blood for the forgiveness of our sin, separating for the point of distinguishing and evaluating. The wine, the shed blood is for forgiveness of sins. That's how I can get saved. Separating for the point of distinguishing, evaluating. The symbol of the bread points to Christ's broken body for the physical healing. That's why you take the bread and you break the bread. You don't just take the bread, take, break, and eat. Because it's symbolizing something. His body, which was whole and healed, till they start beating the stew out of him, putting crowns of thorns on his head and whipping him till his visage was so marred he barely resembled a human being. His body was whole, but then it was broken. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the purchase price for us to have peace in our bodies was upon him. Therefore, by his stripes, we are healed. When you can believe that in your head, not just in your heart, because faith is of the heart for what the heart man believes. Faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. When you get that down into your heart, you will have immediate results. Today you can believe. Today you can choose to believe. Today you can confess, believe. You can talk to the Lord about it. Great time to receive healing at a communion. A great time. The power of God is always here, available and ready. And Matthew 8:17 remind you, said Jesus himself took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. He didn't share with us in them. He didn't take part of them. He took them. If somebody carried my load from here to there, I don't have to carry that load because they bore it for me. When Jesus, when that guy came and carried his cross, you didn't see Jesus carrying the cross and the guy carrying the cross. The guy carried the cross for Jesus. Now, Jesus carries my sickness. That means I don't have to be sick. To be redeemed in the Bible is trifold. We're redeemed from poverty, from sickness, and from spiritual death. I say it repeatedly on purpose because people learn through repetition. We're redeemed. And I listen to how many people say it back to know whether I need to say it 10 more thousand times. We're redeemed from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. We are redeemed. It's been taken away. Jesus paid the price. I don't have to be sick no more. I don't have to be poor no more. And I don't have to be spiritually dead no more. We've been redeemed. And you get that in your spirit and you'll never be sick another day in your life. You'll never be poor another day in your life. And you'll never go back to serving sin another day in your life if you get that down in your spirit that you are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, so it is so. It is so. People sing the song. We know what they're singing. Let's go ahead and let's close with this. Examine yourself there. Ask the question, examining of yourself in the next slide. You ask yourself, are you saved? Are your lifestyle and attitudes pleasing to the Lord? Do you have any unconfessed sin that you need to get rid of today? Is there any strife between you and another person that you need to get rid of? Men of God ought not strive against one another. Therefore, you ought not have strife against one another. Love your brother. Forgive your brother and carry no strife towards your brother. All of those things can cause you to not approach the table worthily. So we're going to take a moment. I'm going to first have an altar call for those that aren't born again to give an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to hell? Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. I said, I'll tell you what. If you don't believe in gravity and you jump off a high enough building so you don't hit the ground too fast, you're going to believe in gravity before you hit the ground, but it's going to be too late then. It is a time to where it's too late to believe in God. Choose the Lord while he may be found. The Bible says, just put the Lord to the test. Taste of the Lord. You'll see he's good. I encourage everybody, don't listen to the world, because God is funny that way. You can't tell how good he is till you taste. Because you don't know until you've had, so you're forced to come by faith. Well, I just got to make a decision. God, I'm putting you to the test. I'm believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, God, here I am. Do something with me. God ain't scared of that. Hey, God's not scared of that. I believe you're Lord. I receive you in my heart. Be my God. God's not afraid of that. So if that's you today, make Jesus your Lord. Then after that, we're going to have a rededication. But let's go ahead now. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed in prayer. No one's moving. No one's talking. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed in prayer. If you're in here today and you never made Jesus your life, the Lord of your life, and you have the wisdom to look on the inside, you hear a little voice saying, God is real. Get saved. Give your life to Christ. You don't want to go to hell. Every thinking person, when they stop and they think, they realize every mad body, every people group on this earth has believed in a God. No matter what they called him, they all knew innately, because man knows, since he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man knows there's a good force, an evil force, and that good force is God. Everybody knows that. It's recent history. The fools have been lifted up with their pride that they're so educated that they're atheistic. They're so educated that they say they're God and they came from monkeys. That would have been ludicrous. Somebody would have knocked your head off 1,000 years ago with some stupidity like that. But because it's taught in school from time we're little kids, faith had come by hearing. You didn't come from a monkey. Only a monkey would believe that. That's stupid. Ask the monkey if you came from him. Where's the monkey at? The DNA says that's not even possible, but they don't promote it. They still want to stay with that Luciferian, satanic belief that anything to say there's not a God, because there is a God. Every people group on this planet has known there's a God. Everybody, up until people got etchmicated, professing themselves wise, they became fools, the Bible says. Exalting the knowledge in their mind, thinking they would be God. Every intelligent person knows there's a God. And today I'm saying his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jehovah God, Jesus, the Lord God Almighty. Today you can make Jesus the Lord of your life by just a simple confession. You don't have to go anywhere. We're all going to pray together. But today, if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you want to taste the Lord, and you want to see that he's good, you want to give your life to Christ today. If that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, not going to ask you to go anywhere. I'm the only one looking around. You can stay in your seat. But today, if you want to be born again, we're going to say a short prayer. We'll all say it together. Just lift your hand up so I know I need to pray. Anyone in here, you're not born again. You want to make Jesus Lord of your life. You want to be born again today. You want to be saved. When Jesus comes back, you want him to come back for you. If that's you, lift your hand up. Let me see it if that's you. I see that hand. Praise God. It's a good thing to be. I see that hand. Two hands. Anybody want to join these two? Make things right with three hands. It's good to be right with God. That's the manly thing. Make it right with God. Four hands. Today, people are coming to God. Make things right between you and God. Four hands. You can put those hands down. We'll pray in just a moment. Not going to embarrass you anyway. I got another invitation. A lot of hands go up here. Before we approach the table, we got to get right. This is not a time to play games with God. If the Holy Spirit, not Pastor Cook, but if the Holy Spirit has witnessed to you that you're out of fellowship, you need to make things right. That's you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just lift your hand, because today you want to rededicate. And I see hands all over the auditorium. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 hands. Anyone else? Make things right between you and God. 21 hands. 22 hands, 23 hands, 24, 25, 26. Let's make it right with God. No shame. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. I see 36, 36, 36, 37, 38, 39, Okay, you can put those hands down. It's more than 39. But you know what? That's awesome. That's awesome. That's people saying, I want to be right with God. If the Holy Spirit talks to me, my head's not hard. I can hear. I want to be right with the Father. That's awesome. Never be ashamed to be right with God. Be ashamed to be wrong with God. Be ashamed to be out of fellowship. Never be ashamed to be right with the Creator. Never be ashamed. All of heaven rejoices when even one comes or one comes back, because all of heaven is cheering for you. Whereabout are we encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses that's standing over the balconies of heaven, cheering us on, saying, believe in God. He's real. Follow God. Have faith in God. Live for God. Taste and see that he's real. All of heaven is cheering you on. It's an awesome thing to stay in fellowship with God, to come back in fellowship with God, to be in fellowship with God. So 40 hands or more went up for rededicate. And I forget how many hands it was, 3 or 4. They have to count. Now, we're going to pray first, and we're all going to pray together in support of those that are getting born again. If you never made Jesus Lord of your life and you want to make him Lord of your life today, it seems so simple, but it's just a prayer and faith in your heart that does it. God is really simple. Everything is by faith. Everything is by faith. Faith and obedience. So the Bible says if we confess Jesus as our Lord, then he would come into our heart and he would save us. And if we believe in our heart that God raised from dead, we'll be born again. So today, I want you to take a step of faith and just believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want you to take another step of faith and confess him as your Lord and believe that God raised from dead. By those simple things, today you'll be born again. That simple. That simple. So let's all pray together. Those that are praying, make sure you pray as well. Those that are getting born again today. Jesus Christ, your word says that if I will confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that you raised, that God raised you from the dead, then I will be saved. I say out of my mouth now, Jesus Christ, you're my Lord. Come into my life and save me now. I give my life to you. It's no longer in my hands. It's in your hands. I thank you so much that when you return, you'll be coming back for me. Father God, I thank you so much, but by the power of faith, the power of a simple prayer, that you changed the hearts of those individuals that got born.